Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, on this Saturday, January 17th, 2009, a special start time, 10 o'clock. We'll still do our regular hour-long program. A big weekend of NFL football, big Sunday of NFL football championship Sunday in the NFL. And it is the best day in all of it, in football. It is the best day of football as far as the NFL goes, in my opinion. The Super Bowl is an event. The game takes forever to play, commercials, and just, you know, the Super Bowl is just an event. Most nine times out of ten, the game isn't that good anyway. Rarely you get that occasional classic, you know, Giants-Bills 20-19, you know, the Scott Norwood missed field goal last year, of course, with the whole Giants beating New England, that whole ordeal, that upset. But these are the games. These conference championship games are the ones that, to me, have the most juice in them. They're the most intense. They're the most memorable, as far as I'm concerned. I think of three or four games in particular. The three-peat game. You remember, if you're a San Francisco 49ers fan, how could you forget, allowing the New York Giants to come into your stadium, knock Joe Montana out, and, the Giants to kick five field goals and go on to win their second Super Bowl, 15-13. 98, you had the great game with Minnesota. Everybody thought in the world, including yours truly, thought Minnesota was just unbeatable. They were 15-1 that year, got to the NFC Championship game, had a home game, had, at that time, the greatest offense in the history of football as far as scoring-wise, Chris Carter, Randy Moss, Robert Smith, Randall Cunningham, and the whole nine yards, but then allowed the Atlanta Falcons to come into their stadium and beat them in overtime. And more recently, you had that great game with in the AFC with New England and Indianapolis. Indianapolis finally, after all those years, getting over the hump to beat New England, coming back from a 21-6 halftime deficit. Peyton Manning had a just great second half, and as Indianapolis won 38-34, which propelled them to their first Super Bowl championship. So these championship games, to me, have more – these championship games are just better than the Super Bowl. I mean, these games really – I mean, you really see some hard hitting in a lot of these games. Teams are close. I mean, now you're one game away. You can smell a Super Bowl, especially if you're a guy, and I think of one in particular, like a Brian Dawkins, who – is towards the end of his career, still playing at a high level, but realizes and knows that the opportunities are not, that he may not have that many opportunities left to get to a Super Bowl, to possibly to win a Super Bowl. As they got to one a couple of years ago and lost to the New England Patriots. So you look at veteran players like that, and those guys, you saw him last week how emotional he was. Listen, the guy wants to win a Super Bowl. And there are a ton of guys who don't even get the opportunity to get to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. So that's something definitely to keep your eye on. It should be a great, great set of games. I'm looking forward to it. We have a ton of NFL to do. We'll look at, of course, we'll go through our NFL picks, picking the two games. We'll also look more in depth into the Philadelphia-Arizona game, because I believe that the Philadelphia-Arizona game is the more intriguing one, considering where these two teams were, say, 6 or 7 weeks ago. Nobody expected them to be there. Nobody expected them to be in the position they are in right now, especially Arizona. I mean, Arizona looked like a dead man walking over the course of the last month. We, of course, have Star of the Week. We'll go through that. We have top stories of the week, a lot of news going on. Even last night, you had a lot of news going on. You had breaking news late last night. And we have our question of the morning. Now, our question of the morning, and this is for you, the callers. The phone number is 347-215-6180. Again, the phone number is 347-215-6180. Which team would you least want to see play? Would you least want to see in the Super Bowl? You have Pittsburgh, you have Baltimore, you have Philadelphia, Arizona. Which one of those teams do you not absolutely, you cringe at the thought of them playing in the Super Bowl? I could think of the one that I don't want to see in the Super Bowl from a matchup standpoint. So, but that is the question for you. So we have a lot to do today. Busy day in sports, busy weekend in sports, especially in the NFL. we will get to, after the update, we will get to NFL picks right after the update. And here's the Saturday morning update. John Gruden has been fired as the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after seven seasons. In 2002, Gruden led the Buccaneers to their first and only championship. Gruden, over his seven seasons with the Buccaneers, had a record of 57-55. Raheem Morris will take over for Gruden. Also, general manager Robert Allen was fired as well. Cowboys have fired defensive coordinator Brian Stewart after two seasons. Of course, you remember Wade Phillips took over the defensive calls midway through the season, and Dallas' defense played a little bit better after that. College basketball action, some big matchups. You have number 12 Georgetown going down to Durham to take on the number 2 ranked Duke Blue Devils. Notre Dame takes on Syracuse at the Carrier Dome. In the battle of unbeaten, you have number 3 Wake Forest traveling down to take on number 9 Clemson. And also NBA scores. Orlando gets by the Lakers 109-103. Dwight Howard goes for 25 points, 20 rebounds, despite a triple-double by Kobe Bryant. Cleveland has the best record in all of basketball at 31-7. They roll over New Orleans 92-78, despite the fact that no Delonte West, no Jadrunas Ilgafis. LeBron James has 29 points, 14 rebounds. Milwaukee. How about it? Milwaukee keeps their Saturday morning wake-up call streak alive. I don't know what it is now, but Milwaukee seems they can't lose on Friday nights. They defeat Sacramento 129-122. Michael Redd scores 44 points. Philadelphia break up the Sixers. They've won six straight. They crushed the San Antonio Spurs 109-87. Thaddeus Young goes for 27 points. Other winners in the association include Washington, Indiana, Oklahoma City, Utah, Minnesota, and Golden State. That update was brought to you by fans who think Eli Manning got exposed last week against the Philadelphia Eagles, where he just looked like a high school quarterback, basically. Still to come, NFL picks, and we'll tell you why. I will explain to you why. What turned around the Philadelphia Eagles seasons as well as the Arizona Cardinals season. That's still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call. Championship Sunday in the NFL. This is, I can't believe it, second to last week in terms of doing picks. I only have 3 picks left in the whole season. This will be the last time I do multiple picks, and I will begin with the earlier game, Philadelphia at Arizona. And listen, Philadelphia had their way with them earlier this season as well, as you all know, 48-20. That was at a point where Arizona wanted absolutely no part of cold weather, Thanksgiving night. It was really a turning point in the Philadelphia Eagles season, where they really started to play well, started to get the running game going. And Donovan McNabb, that was the game that Donovan McNabb was coming off his benching against Baltimore, came back 4 touchdowns. Brian Westbrook had 4 touchdowns and Philadelphia rolled. This is not the same Arizona team. This Arizona team is playing defense. This Arizona team has tried to run the football. This Arizona team is just a more confident football team. Again, the game is in Arizona, and that's a big difference. I mean, that is a huge difference, because if this game played in Philadelphia, I would give Arizona absolutely no chance to win this game. With this weather, the way it's cold it is on the East Coast right now, there's no way Arizona would have a shot to win this game. But the game is in Glendale, Arizona, and I think Arizona has a legitimate chance to win this game. But the bottom line is the Philadelphia Eagles are on an incredible roll right now. Their defense right now is playing every bit as well as any other defense in the playoffs. That includes Pittsburgh. That includes Baltimore. Look what their defense has done in their last 7 games. They've given up 20, 14, 10, 10, 6, 14, 11 points. And mind you, when they gave up 20 points to Arizona in that Thanksgiving Day game, Thanksgiving night game, some of those points were in garbage time where that game was clearly decided. The Philadelphia defense has been dominant, and Philadelphia to me is just better all around. I mean, where can you go and say Arizona's better? Philadelphia has a better quarterback. They have a better quarterback. They have a better defense. They're better on the special teams. David Akers had, you know, just broke the NFL record for most field goals made in the playoffs consecutively. He's made 18 straight field goals. DeSean Jackson can be dangerous on special teams. Remember, that is a Achilles heel with Arizona in terms of their kickoff and punt return coverage. It's the reason why they lost the Giant game earlier this season at home. I think this will be a different Arizona team than what you saw Thanksgiving night. I know that for sure. But I like the Eagles in a close game. I'm thinking 24-17, 23-16, somewhere in that vicinity. Again, and would I be shocked if Arizona won? I can't say I would be shocked because they are at home. So I'm not going to say I'm going to be shocked. But I would be very surprised if the Philadelphia Eagles are not representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. Brian Westbrook and Anquan Boldin, both of those guys will play. How effective Boldin will be, who knows? He's, you know, the hamstring. That, I mean, that, you know, he could go pass protect and his hamstring give out. So I don't know how much they're going to get out of Anquan Boldin. I do know one thing: that Arizona will not be able to run against Philadelphia. The Philadelphia run defense with their secondary has one of the very few secondaries that can match up with Arizona's passing attack. When you talk about the likes of Asante Samuel, Lito Shepherd is coming off the bench. Sheldon Brown, and of course future Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins as a deep secondary that has played great during this run where the Eagles have been winning all these games here. So I like the Eagles in game number one. Game number two, we travel to Steel City, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Grudge match, part three of this bitter rivalry. These two teams, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, do not like each other. Pittsburgh is favored by 6. Samari Rowe is doubtful to play. Terrell Suggs will be a game-time decision. Those are two key players on that defense without question. Those are two key players on that Baltimore defense. Baltimore's been doing a lot of talking. You know, they want Pittsburgh, and they were rooting for the Steelers to beat. They were rooting for the Steelers to beat, to beat San Diego and the whole 9 yards. You know, at some point, and Baltimore is carrying a lot on turnovers. At some point, you're not going to force four or five turnovers in a game, especially a playoff game on the road. I thought Baltimore dominated Miami, but I thought their defense looked very vulnerable against Tennessee last weekend. Tennessee last weekend outplayed Baltimore from the line of scrimmage. I mean, they destroyed Baltimore from the line of scrimmage. They outgained them 391 yards to 211. I worry about Joe Flacco in this spot, in that stadium, with that crowd. I worry about their defense with those injuries, and I frankly feel that this game will not be as close as many people think it will be. I think Baltimore is catching Pittsburgh at the wrong time. Willie Parker seems to be back to 100%. He had a great game last week. He's had two games in a row where he's went over 100 yards, had 146 yards rushing. Ben Roethlisberger seemed to have no ill effects from the concussion, and those are two major question marks I had about Pittsburgh coming into the playoffs. It was Ben Roethlisberger's health, and it was Willie Parker in that running game, and those questions were answered big time in that San Diego win. I like Pittsburgh in this game. Again, somewhere in like 24-14, 27-17, 7, something like a score like that. I could see this game being close into the fourth quarter and then getting out of hand. I think Pittsburgh will wear Baltimore down. I think their defense will finally break. It had been, but it didn't break against Tennessee. I do think they will break against Pittsburgh. And remember this, you know, all I've been hearing throughout the course of the week is how hard it is to beat a team three times in a season and how difficult that is. Well, I'm going to give you the record of teams who have beaten teams twice in a season, and what their record is in that third game. It is 17-12 in that third meeting. 17-12. That comes directly from the Elias Sports Bureau, by the way. So it's not like I'm making that up. So you just gotta use common sense. If a team sweeps a team during the regular season, there's a pretty good chance that they're just a better team. I mean, you can have a fluke win here. You can have one fluke win, and then the other team come back and and return the favor. But you're not gonna have two fluke wins. It's just not gonna happen. And I would say that, I don't think either one of those games were fluke wins over the course of the season. They were tough, hard-fought games, but Pittsburgh in the end proved to be the better team in both those games. Baltimore probably should have won the first game up in Pittsburgh when they were up 13-3 in that game. They probably should have won. But the last game, was back and forth, and Pittsburgh made the plays at the end. Ben Roethlisberger with that 92-yard drive at the end to finish it off. But I don't think it's that hard to beat a team three times in one season in the NFL, or to beat a team the third time after you've beaten them twice. Remember, let's go back to 1999 when you had Tennessee and Jacksonville. Jacksonville that season was 15-3. They lost three games, and all three of those losses came to the Tennessee Titans, including the last one coming in Jacksonville 32-14 that kept then coach Tom Coughlin from reaching his first Super Bowl game as a head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. So I like Pittsburgh in this game. I think, again, this will be a very physical game. And, again, this will be the first time all season since they last met that Baltimore's defense will walk on that field as the second-best defense. Pittsburgh has the best defense in the NFL. There's no question about that. Any Baltimore fan wants to argue that, just go look at the stats. You'll see Pittsburgh number one in yards allowed. You'll see Pittsburgh number one in points allowed. And, that's that. And they're top two and three in just about everything else. So Pittsburgh does have the best defense in the league, in football without question. But again, I think it'll be a very physical game. This is a game that is not for the faint of heart. This is a bring your hard hats game. But I think Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger, will be just a little bit too much. Again, Joe Flacco, he's had an excellent postseason. He played extremely well against Tennessee. Did not turn over the ball. Drove his team down the field to get the game-winning field goal. But I can see Flacco throwing a couple of picks in this game. I really can. I mean, I think that Pittsburgh defense can get to him. I can see him being shaky in this game, and he would not be the first rookie quarterback to be shaky in a conference championship game. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, 4 years ago against New England, did not have his best game against the then defending Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. So, it wouldn't be out of character for Ben Roethlisberger not to have for Joe Flacco to struggle a bit. Though I think he has played extremely well during this postseason. Coming up on the Saturday morning wake up call, again, we'll have Star of the Week. We have Star of the Week. And I'll look further into that Philadelphia Arizona matchup. I think it is clearly, to me, the most intriguing of the two matchups, considering where these two teams came from. I will tell you why these teams turned around their season, and I also will explain to you why the Kurt Warner, Donovan McNabb comparison is really no comparison when you think about it. So I'll explain those two things, and also top stories on the way, and much, much more on the Saturday morning wake up call. 19 minutes after the 10 o'clock hour, the call number is 347-215-6180. Again, it's 347-215-6180. Call in. You can talk some NFL. We can talk some NFL and talk about anything you want to talk about in the world of sports. Update time. Saturday, John Gruden has been fired from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after 7 seasons in 2002. Gruden led the Buccaneers to their first and only championship. Gruden had a record of 57-55 during his tenure with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was fired along with general manager Robert Allen. Raheem Morris, who will take over as head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, also fired. Cowboy defensive coordinator Brian Fuhrer has been fired after two seasons with the Dallas Cowboys. College basketball action today. Georgetown, number 12, takes on number 2 ranked Duke down in Cameron Indoor. Notre Dame travels up to Syracuse to take on the number 8 ranked Syracuse Orangemen. And in a battle of unbeatens in ACC play, Wake Forest, coming off that big win versus North Carolina, takes on number 9 Clemson down in Little John Coliseum at Clemson. So that should be a great game. NBA scores. Orlando defeats the Lakers 109-103. Dwight Howard scores 25 points and grabs 20 rebounds, and they fight off a Kobe Bryant triple-double. Cleveland improves to 31-7, the best record in the NBA, with a 92-78 win over the New Orleans Hornets. LeBron James goes for 29 points and 14 rebounds. Milwaukee keeps their Saturday morning wake-up call streak alive as they defeat the Sacramento Kings 129-122. Michael Redd scores 44 points. Philadelphia crushes San Antonio 109-87. The Sixers have won 6 straight games. Thaddeus Young scores 27 points. Other winners in the association include Washington, Indiana, Oklahoma City, Utah, Minnesota, and Golden State.
Have no fear, the camera's here, and the microphone, and they wanna know, a break.
The star of the week, only 2 candidates this week, as it really wasn't a standout week for big performances, but yeah, 2 good ones. Number 1, Jody Meeks, the Kentucky guard, scored 54 points in a win over Tennessee. Yes, I repeat, 54 points he had in a win over the Tennessee Volunteers. Meeks shot 15 of 22 from the field, including 10 for 15 from the three-point line. He was on fire. He set the school record, of course, with those 54 points. And I mean, the thing that stood out besides the 54 points is, This guy is a good player, but he's not a great player. I mean, you think of some of the names in Kentucky basketball history that haven't reached that many points. I mean, you're talking about the likes of Sam Bowie, Jamal Mashburn, Pat Riley, and Dan Issel, but Jody Meeks tops them all in terms of a single game scoring mark. Number 2, the Orlando Magic. The Orlando Magic, who had a great win last night against the Lakers and are just playing out of their minds right now. But earlier in the week, they were just red hot from three-point range. They nailed an NBA record, 23 three-pointers in the game and a 32-point win over the Sacramento Kings. 23 of 37 from the three-point line. That's unconscious. That's just unheard of. I mean, they are the best three-point shooting team in the NBA, not from a percentage point, but in terms of three-pointers made right now. Just you can't leave any of those guys open. They will make the shots. So we have Jody Meeks and the Orlando Magic, and I would have to give it to Jody Meeks. I mean, you scored 50 points in a college game, I guess in the SEC and playing for Kentucky. 54 points is 54 points. And did it amazingly again on 22 shots. That's efficiency. You can get 54 points on 22 shots. You know, you're shooting the heck out of the ball. So Jody Meeks is our star of the week. Still to come, we will get to Philadelphia, Arizona. Again, I will tell you what turned these two teams' seasons around, and I'll also explain to you why the Donovan McNabb-Kurt Warner comparison is no comparison at all. That's still to come after this update. This update is brought to you by fans who think that Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb will be missed when their time up is up in Philadelphia. of course, those fans are not from Philadelphia who think that. But listen, when it's all said and done, fans from Philadelphia will miss those two guys as they have had a great run in the last 10 years for the Philadelphia Eagle franchise, no, without question. Update: Saturday morning, John Gruden has been fired by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as head coach. He spent 7 seasons in Tampa Bay in 2002 with Tony Dungy's players. Of course, he led the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to their first and only championship to date. Gruden was 57-55 as head coach. He, along with Gruden, general manager Robert Allen, was also fired. Raheem Morris will take over as head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also, Cowboy defensive coordinator, or former Cowboy defensive coordinator, Brian Stewart has been fired after 2 seasons with the team, with the Dallas Cowboys. College basketball action: Georgetown will take on Duke and Cameron Indoor. Georgetown comes into the game ranked number 12 in the country. Duke is ranked number two in the country. Notre Dame, number 13, Notre Dame takes on number 8, Syracuse, at the Carrier Dome. And in a battle of unbeaten, Wake Forest takes on Clemson, number 9 Clemson at Little John Coliseum. NBA scores, Orlando defeats the Lakers 109-103. The Lakers drop to 31-8. Orlando improves to 32-8. Dwight Howard goes for 25 points and 20 rebounds, despite a Kobe Bryant triple-double. Milwaukee takes out Sacramento 129-122. Michael Redd scores 44 points. Cleveland has the best record in the NBA at 31-7. They defeat the New Orleans Hornets 92-78. LeBron James scores 29 points and grabs 14 rebounds. Philadelphia defeats San Antonio 109-87. The Sixers have won 6 straight games, despite the fact that Elton Brand is out with an injury right now. Thaddeus Young scores 27 points in the win. And other winners in the association include Washington, Indiana, Oklahoma City, Utah, Minnesota, and Golden State as well. Special Davis Group and two teams that have made it to the Final Four, the Arizona Cardinals and Philadelphia Eagles. I keep saying the Phillies. I can't get the Phillies out of my mind right now. I don't know why not Phillies. I'm a Mets fan. I don't know why I can't get the Phillies out of my mind. But the Philadelphia Eagles find themselves in the NFC Championship, and I'm telling you, it looked, you know, about six or seven weeks ago, it looked like these would be the two last teams that you would see at this point. And as far as the Eagles goes, everybody talks about how the Eagles turned around their season. And the first thing they point to, and I blame the media for this, of course, they blow everything out of proportion just about, is the benching of Donovan McNabb in that Baltimore game during halftime of that Baltimore game, where Philadelphia ended up losing 36-7. I don't see it at all. You know, you want to know why the Eagles are in the position that they're in right now, without stating the obvious, you know, in terms of how their defense has played. The Eagles are in that position right now because they committed, to running the football, pure and simple. Andy Reid, despite his success, has been notorious for being pass first, heavy on the pass, and light on the run. I mean, if Andy Reid could pass on every down, he would. Bandy Reeve finally came. He had a, I don't know if he had an epiphany or what happened, but he finally came to the conclusion that I need a running game and I need to run the ball in order for my team to win football games, in order for my team to get to the next level. You look at that, and it was in that Arizona game where this turned around. During that game, the Eagles ran the ball 40 times and threw the ball 39 times. They ran the ball 40 times for 185 yards. In the following week against the Giants, they ran the ball 42 times and threw the ball 30 times, ran the ball, for 140 yards. In the Cleveland game, they ran the ball 33 times and threw the ball 38 times, but ran the ball 33 times. Pretty good balance. In the Washington game, and this is the only game that they've lost since, this is the only game that they've lost in the last 7 weeks. They threw the ball in a close game. They ran the ball only 16 times and threw the ball 46 times. They corrected that mistake a week later against Dallas as they ran the ball 36 times for 137 yards. They ran in both playoff games against the Minnesota and the Giants. Despite the fact that they have not had great success running the ball, they still remain committed to running the football. And you have to listen. You look at these four teams that are left in the playoffs. Three of the teams are, you have the three best defensive teams in football right now in terms of rankings in Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and Philadelphia. 1, 2, 3. Arizona's 19th, but right now Arizona is playing great defense. But all four teams have run the football. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, even though the yards per carry were not there, they are committed to running the football. The Philadelphia Eagles have recommitted to running the football. Even Arizona, the last three games, have committed to run the football. You have to run the football in order to get to a Super Bowl, in order to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that whole throw the ball every down offense, that day is done in the NFL. That day is absolutely done in the NFL. I know you had the St. Louis Rams earlier in the decade with the greatest show on turf, but they also had a beast of a running back by the name of Marshall Faulk. And it is the reason why they got upset in the Super Bowl against New England that year, because they didn't run him enough. So that would be the number one reason why Philadelphia has turned around its season. Not because they got deep bench Donovan McNabb. I'm telling you right now, Philadelphia, Andy Reid got lucky with that. Because had Kevin Cobb played well, let's say they would have beaten Baltimore, even played Baltimore in a close game, he probably would have had to go out there and play Kevin Cobb in the next game against Arizona. And then their season would have been finished. So he got lucky that Cobb stunk up the joint in the second half, gave him a convenient excuse to go back to McNabb, and, the rest of it, as they say, is history. As far as Arizona goes, I would think that their commitment to the running game and defense has been a turning point. But I would go to this one game, 47-7 against New England. A couple weeks back, in the game before last, the second to last game, they went up to New England and just got, lambasted. They were embarrassed. They looked like they wanted no part of that game in New England. Again, New England just toyed with them. And at that point, Ken Wisenhunt goes and says, "Hey, you know what? Enough of this. I know we clinched our division a couple of weeks back, but like right now, we're a soft football team, and we are not going to go do anything in the playoffs at this rate." You got me. He put them back into training camp mode, put them back into pads in terms of practicing, went into just this whole bunker mentality, and started threatening some jobs. He really, got tough on them, and you have seen a different, ever since that game, you have seen a different Arizona team. Because Arizona was playing terrible football down the stretch. I mean, they got embarrassed by Philadelphia. They got embarrassed by New England. They allowed Minnesota to come into their home stadium and just run all over them and physically just push them around. And I give Wisenhunt a lot of credit for turning that thing around, because it is very difficult. It's very difficult to be struggling for a team, especially in the NFL or even in the NBA for that matter, to struggle down the stretch and then all of a sudden turn it on in the playoffs and start winning again. That does not happen that often in the NFL. Well, I've seen teams who have been 13, 14, 13, 12, and 13 game winners struggle down the stretch and get knocked out of playoffs right away. Case in point, Tennessee. Case in point, New York Giants this year. Even going back a couple years back to the Indianapolis Colts when they were 13-0. lost to San Diego and were never the same team after that game. They ended up losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the divisional playoff round. So give Wizards a lot of credit for kind of shifting the focus towards the running game and just fully committing to the run. I mean, even if they don't get the yards, they still are trying to attempt to run the football, and you have to. I mean, even if you don't get the yards, you have to keep your defense honest, and you can't leave your quarterback hung out to dry like that, especially against a quality pass rush. You know, you will get your quarterback killed trying to just throw the ball and be down in the NFL. As far as Warner and McNair goes, there's been a lot of talk about who's a Hall of Famer, who's not a Hall of Famer between these two, who's better. There's some history with these two guys. Of course, back in 2001, there's not good history for the Philadelphia Eagles. Donovan McNabb made his first conference championship appearance going up against a St. Louis Rams team that was clearly better. I mean, that year, the Eagles did not even win. The Eagles were a wild card team that year. They were 11-5. They were an upstart team. The Rams had already won a Super Bowl, so that the game was in St. Louis. So it was a game that really the Eagles had no business even winning. The Eagles played well in that game, but came up short 29-24. Marshall Faulk had a huge day that night. He had a huge game that day. So, you know, these quarterbacks have a little bit of history between them. I'm going to tell you like this. Warner has the flashier credentials. He's been MVP twice. He's been Super Bowl MVP. He's been to two Super Bowls. But I'm telling you right now, if I'm starting a franchise with equal talent, I'm taking Donovan McNabb every day of the week and twice on Sunday. When you realize what Donovan McNabb has accomplished over his career, you lose sight of how successful he has been. I mean, this is a guy who has, you know, who has over 100 more touchdowns than interceptions. This is a guy who only Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady have won more games than Donovan McNabb as far as active quarterbacks. 5 NFC championships, a number of division titles. All he does is win. That's all he does is win games. He's never lost an opening game in the playoffs. They've won at least one playoff game every time he's led them to the playoffs. How many times do we see a team go one and done? I mean, the Giants went one and done this year, and they were the defending Super Bowl champions. And this is with not great talent around him. I mean, Westbrook has emerged in the last couple of years, but as far as their receiving corps goes, they've had one Hall of Fame caliber. He exploded. We all know what happened with that whole ordeal. On the other hand, Kurt Warner has played with, I'm counting, but when it's said and done, probably six or seven Hall of Fames. You go back to the St. Louis days, Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce are both going to the Hall of Fame. Marshall Faulk is an all-time great. And you had Orlando Pace on the offensive line. Not to count Aeneas Williams defensively, who came to St. Louis late in his career, but still probably has a chance to get to the Hall of Fame. But I won't even count him. Look what he has now with Arizona. Bolden and Fitzgerald, if they stay healthy, are both going to the Hall of Fame. They can go down. They might have a chance to go down as the best wide receiver combination in NFL history. They're that good. So I think I would have to give the edge to Donovan McNabb from that standpoint. If he retires today, would I put Donovan McNabb in the Hall of Fame? I think I would have to lean towards it, yes. Kurt Warner, no. If Kurt Warner gets to the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl, is he a Hall of Famer? I have to put him in there. I would have to put him in there, despite the fact that he had 5 seasons from 2002 to 2006 where he was just a non-factor. You know, people forgot Kurt Warner was in the NFL those particular seasons. Still to come, we have top stories, a number of things to talk about, end of an era down in Hoosier Land. Also, I'll go from the sublime to the ridiculous as far as the Baseball Hall of Fame voting goes. And a bit of a spat down in Trojan country. We'll have that and much, much more still to come on the Saturday morning wake-up call. The call number is 347-215-6180, 347-215-6180. This update is brought to you by fans who will miss Tony Dungy on the sidelines. J. John Gruden has been fired by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers after seven seasons. After seven seasons, Gruden in 2002 led the Buccaneers to their first and only championship. During his tenure, Gruden was 57-55. He has been fired also fired Robert Allen, the Tampa Bay general manager, as well. Cowboy defensive coordinator Ryan Stewart has been relieved of his duties after two seasons as defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys. College basketball action. Georgetown, number 12, takes on number 2, Duke. Number 13, Notre Dame travels up to the Carrier Dome to take on Syracuse. In a battle of unbeatens, Wake Forest, who is ranked number 3, goes to Clemson to take on the number 9 Clemson Tigers. And again, a battle of unbeaten should be a very good game. NBA scores. Orlando defeats the Lakers 109-103. Dwight Howard goes for 25 points and 20 rebounds. Kobe Bryant had a triple-double in that game. Cleveland now has the best record in all of basketball at 31-7 as they defeat the New Orleans Hornets 92-78. LeBron James scores 29 points and grabs 14 rebounds. Philadelphia continues the roll. They've won six straight games now. 109-87 over the San Antonio Spurs. Thaddeus Young goes for 27 points. Milwaukee wins 129-122 over Sacramento. Michael Redd, big game, 44 points. Other winners in the association include Indiana, Oklahoma City, Utah, Minnesota, and also Golden State. Top stories of the week, of course, the great Tony Dungy, retires as head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Dungy, over the course of his career, led the Colts to the playoffs. Every year he coached Indianapolis. They won a Super Bowl back in the 2006 season. And, you know, what can you say about Dungy that hasn't already been said? I mean, I think when I think about Tony Dungy, I think two words come to mind: class and dignity. The guy, he did it the right way. He did it his way. He didn't have to scream, curse out players. He didn't have to, you know, he wasn't that rah-rah guy. The guy, you know, he made his points. Whatever he could motivate the team without, you know, going crazy and you know, without going crazy, and it just proved to you that you is more than one way to skin a cat, basically. And I mean, you look at his record. I mean, his record it speaks for itself. I mean, the guy had 12, you know, the guy had six straight 12-win seasons, which is unheard of, which is an NFL record, and 10 straight seasons going back to his days with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that he made the playoffs, which is again is an NFL record. And I'm gonna tell you how hard it is to do that. Even the great Bill Belichick has never done that. I mean, you have to be lucky in terms of injuries, but you also have to be just a heck of a coach to do something like that. To make the playoffs, lead your team to the playoffs 10 straight years with the turnover rate being what it is in the NFL is just something that, again, that may never be accomplished again in no time soon. I mean, his record is just amazing, and what he did with those two franchises. Remember, I think what he did in Tampa Bay is just as impressive, if not more impressive, than what he did with Indianapolis. Because you remember all those Tampa Bay teams, you know, the Buccaneers, 0-14 in 1976. That franchise was they were the Los Angeles Clippers of the South. I mean, Tampa Bay was awful. They were awful during those before Dungy got there. He built that team from scratch, and you know John Gruden, you know, has a Super Bowl on his resume, but those are Tony Dungy's players. Let's not get that mistaken. Without question, those are Tony Dungy's players, and he will be missed amongst the NFL circles. He didn't leave it open that he might come back. He did leave that door open. He didn't completely shut it. And again, Bill Parcells, Joe Gibbs, Dick Vermeil, these coaches say they retire, especially Joe Gibbs. I mean, what he was doing his thing with NASCAR, you thought he was done. But coaches are coaches, and I would not be shocked to see Tony Dungy back in, say, 2 or 3 years. It would not surprise you, not in the least bit. But for now, he is retired. Ricky Henderson and Jim Rice were elected into the Hall of Fame. Ricky Henderson, of course, received 94.8% of the vote. I would like to know, he received 511 out of 539 possible votes. I would like to know the names of the 28 reported 28 idiots who didn't vote Ricky Henderson first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, how could you not vote Ricky Henderson into the Hall of Fame if you're a writer? You should have your writing credentials stripped. Here's a guy who revolutionized the leadoff batting position, the greatest leadoff hitter of all time by far and away, all time leader in terms of home runs from a leadoff man, all time leader in terms of leadoff home runs of 81, 3,000 hits, all time leader in stolen bases and runs scored. He was great in postseason. He had won an MVP. I mean, he's one of the greatest players of all time. Ricky Henderson is one of the top 20, 25 players ever. I mean, I guess he should have been unanimous. If there's a guy who should have been 99, 100%, it was Ricky Henderson. Jim Wright finally gets into the Hall of Fame after waiting 15 years, and it was just absolutely asinine that he had to wait this long. Rice, from 1975 to 1986, Rice was as dominant as any offensive player in the American League. He was MVP. He ranked top five in the MVP voting six times. Had 382 career home runs, 1,451 RBIs, but that doesn't even tell the story. You got to remember, he was playing when there was no steroids in the game. So, you know, his numbers look better. His numbers, to me, are much better than what they look, considering the fact that you have steroids in it, that you've had steroids in the game over the course of the last 15 years. And that probably was the thing that got him in. I mean, when these guys finally came to their senses, like, wow, there's maybe 30 home runs and 115 RBIs, maybe those numbers are pretty good. But because by today's measures, 30 home runs, 115 RBIs is a good year, but not a great year. But no, that 30 home runs, 115 RBIs is a great year. Rice had a number of 30 home runs, 110, 115 RBI seasons. He should have been in the Hall of Fame a long time ago. Again, I don't know what these writers think about when they do this voting. Scott Pioli has been named new general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. He leaves the New England Patriots after 9 years with the Patriots, 3 Super Bowl championships. And listen, the Patriots, I guess they're giving Bill Belichick basically the keys to the car as far as, you know, with the personnel decisions, though it's not official. You know, he'll still have somebody, you know, doing that. But listen, Scott Pioli, what can you say about what he did with the Patriots and with the draft picks, the trades, the whole nine yards? And I'm telling you right now, that job in Kansas City, now you look at Kansas City, you say to yourself, oh, what a terrible job. They were 2-14, a laughing stock. Yes and no. That is a good job. They have $32 million under the salary cap. They're about to have their stadium's already one of the best stadiums in the NFL as far as toughest places to play. And they're about to have a $325 million renovation on it. So it's going to basically be like a new stadium. And they will have a number of draft picks. They will have a number of draft picks this year as far as from that Jerry Allen trade. They're going to have two extra third round picks. And Scott Pioli knows how to draft. He knows how to pick talent. And I'm telling you, he will turn that thing around within 2 years. Herm Edwards is finished in Kansas City. I cannot see Pioli keeping him on as head coach. I just see that, a guy gets hired to run an organization. He wants to bring in his own people, and his own people, coaching staff, and the whole nine yards. Mark Sanchez, the USC quarterback, decided to turn pro. Sanchez is projected to be by Todd McShay, who's a scouting guru for ESPN, projected to be the number four pick, and definitely projected to be a top 10 pick. But that's not even the story as far as Sanchez goes. The big story is the reaction of one Pete Carroll, the USC head coach. Now, Pete Carroll, if you don't know, Pete Carroll was totally against Sanchez leaving, going pro. I mean, he didn't think Sanchez was ready. Sanchez only had one full season of starting quarterback for USC. Doesn't have a lot of experience. Did have one year left of eligibility, of course. But he doesn't have a lot of experience. And I can't sit up and tell you, but I know what Mark Sanchez is going to be as a pro. I can't, I mean, quote, it's a crapshoot. Who knows? He could be Drew Brees or he could be Eric Brees. I mean, who knows? Who knows with these quarterbacks? I do know this. I know that Colt McCoy and Sam Bradford decided to stay in school And I know that if you go to school, if he goes back to school, that he risks injury and risks about $15 to $20 million in terms of signing bonus money. I know that. Pete Carroll, you know, Pete Carroll, I mean, you have to see the video. You know, Pete Carroll at the press conference just totally, you know, just dismissed Sanchez. You know, he says, here's some couple of quotes. Here's some couple of quotes from Carroll. We didn't see this decision the same, you know. And basically saying that he wasn't doesn't have the experience, that he's going against the grain. Mark is going against the grain in this decision. We know that he knows that. Listen, that press conference is his moment. You don't stop on his moment. It was obviously they had a conversation a couple of nights before up to like 1 o'clock in the morning. And during that conversation, if you want to argue with him, if you want to scream at him, yell at him behind closed doors, then fine, so be it. So be it. Fight it out then. But not at a press conference. Pete Carroll, he had to show more class than that. And I like the line by Bill Plaschke, Los Angeles Times writer. But there is no debate that Carroll handled it with all the decorum of a jilted lover. That's a good line. That's exactly what it was. It was like if you break up with your girlfriend and she just is just, you know, doesn't pull a fatal attraction on you, but just, you know, can't stand to, you know, spit in your face if she sees you again. I mean, Carroll walked out there. I'm gonna draw the picture up for you during the press conference. Carroll is sitting about 4 or 5 chairs down from Sanchez during the press conference. Carroll says what he has to say, walks out right before Sanchez is about to get on and speak to the media. And doesn't even he basically doesn't even acknowledge Sanchez. He pats him on the he smacks him on the shoulder. And it wasn't one of those soft slaps, like it was one of those slaps like, oh, whatever, and kept him moving. I mean, you have to see the video. I don't even do the video justice. But that's what he did. I mean, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, it's not like USC can't replace Mark Sanchez. I mean, geez, they've only had and think of some of the quarterbacks that USC has had in the last 10 years, Carson Palmer, you know, Matt Leiner, even John David Booty was a pretty good player. And then they had Matt Castle, played for USC and couldn't even get off the bench. Look what Matt Castle was going to make probably $15 or $20 million next year. He was going to make $16 million being franchised next year. He couldn't even get off USC's bench. So it's not like Pete Carroll can't get players. I mean, geez, I have never seen anything like it. It was hilarious to watch, I'll tell you that. It was absolutely hilarious to watch that press conference and that whole ordeal. Again, I don't know what kind of player Sanchez will be in the future, but obviously Pete Carroll did not handle it well at all, and just again it was something to see. If you get a chance to see it, it was hilarious. I would think that Pete Carroll would have a little bit more class and just be a bigger, you know, be the bigger person as far as that situation goes. And again, if you're Mark Sanchez, you can't pass up this opportunity. I mean, because next year Sam Bradford, Colt McCoy, those guys are gonna be done. You know, who knows? Somebody might even get caught up in the Tim Tebow hype and decide to take him as a first round pick. So you can't risk giving up that guaranteed money and being a top five pick. I mean, you just can't do it. And especially with the NFL, you can be it's one play and your career can be over. That is the NFL. So tomorrow you will have again four teams who are just 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl. It should be two pretty good games. I'm looking forward to it. I'm more intrigued by that Arizona Philadelphia matchup for some reason than I am Baltimore Pittsburgh. I know what I'm going to get out of Baltimore Pittsburgh. It's going to be a physical battle. It's going to come down to, you know, the turnover situation and, you know, and the quarterback play. But that Arizona Philadelphia, I know what Philadelphia is about, but I want to know if Arizona is for real. Because if Arizona is really a championship caliber team, because I think out of these four teams, three of them right now are championship level. I'm not sure if Arizona is championship level. I have to see They will get a chance to prove it tomorrow. But I have to see it. It'd be interesting to see them in a championship game. Again, they're at home, and you can never dismiss home field advantage. You can't. I know road teams have had great success during the playoffs, but listen, I'd rather be playing at home than you'd rather be at home than on the road. That's all there is to it. So I'll be interested to see that. That particular matchup. Again, Brian Westbrook will play. I don't know why people continue to bring up Brian Westbrook injuries. I'm sick of hearing about Brian Westbrook's injuries. We know, okay, he's banged up. Every NFL player is banged up. You know, put him on the injury report and have him day to day and keep it moving. I want to hear about guys who are probably not going to play, like Terrell Suggs. I want to hear about that, or Samari Rowe. Those guys will probably not play tomorrow. Terrell Suggs will, you know, give it a go, but like I said, he's going to be a game-time decision. Samari Rowe is probably out, and again, those are two big injuries off that Baltimore Ravens defense. Those are two key guys. So Terrell Suggs is by far and away their best pass rusher. And Samari Rowe obviously is a key member in that Baltimore secondary. And remember, Pittsburgh, again, I'm not gonna make a Super Bowl pick. We'll have plenty of time to do that. But right now, Pittsburgh looks like the best team right now. They look like the most complete team. Out of all these four teams, the Steelers look like the most complete team in football right now, with the way, you know, with the rejuvenation of Willie Parker, with Ben Roethlisberger being back from that concussion and not not showing any effects from that. Pittsburgh, if I were a betting man right now, I'm not going to shy away from the pick I made at the beginning of the playoffs. I know what I said. I remember it. But gun to my head, I would have to take Pittsburgh right now. I would have to take Pittsburgh. And the team I don't want to see, that was our team I don't want to see in the Super Bowl. I don't want to see Arizona in the Super Bowl. I can't take 2 weeks of Kurt Warner. I can't take 2 weeks of Cinderella. Cinderella and Super Bowls don't mix. They don't. Just go ask the 94 San Diego Chargers after they upset Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship and ran to that juggernaut called the San Francisco 49ers. Cinderella's and Super Bowls, they just do not mix. 347-215-6180. We have a couple more minutes to get in a phone call or two. So it's 347-215-6180. Again, I'll be back next week. We'll recap this week's championship games. We'll kind of stay the Super Bowl. I have a big Super Bowl show planned for 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now, 2 hour Super Bowl show. So stay tuned towards that. But we'll kind of focus on next week. We'll kind of try to make that shift into the college basketball season. Still some hostile baseball, some NBA, and even some tennis. Australian Open is starting this weekend, so Federer, Nadal, the Williams sisters. So we'll kind of try to make that shift into the next phase of the sporting calendar. Unfortunately, as football only has 3 games remaining, amazingly, the season goes by so fast. So we will make that shift. I want to get one last note in. I want to wish a speedy recovery to my grandmother, Rosalind Quinn, up in Connecticut, because my thoughts and prayers are out with her, and I wish her a speedy recovery. So I want to get that in, and I will see you next week at regular time, 10:30 to 11:30. So I will see you next week. Thanks for listening. Take it easy.
There is freedom within, there is freedom without. I can't tell you. There's a battle there, there's a battle far off. There's the end of the road by your family. I'm so window in my car. In the morning of the room, my feet is in love. Wake up in the day. I'm not going to be able to do it.